Good to see everybody this morning. Thank the Lord for our little ones. Amen. Such a blessing, man. Such a blessing. Said, train them up in the way that they should go, the way they don't depart from the faith. And that's such an honor. I tell you, we are in our feast days, and we are in our fall holidays. And we just got through with the Feast of Trumpets. And we are in the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And I tell you, man, this here was challenging because I finally got to where I understand where you said you're sleepless at night. You lose sleep over this stuff. When you start digging, we're in 10 days of awe. So them 10 days of awe is, you want to make sure you're right. It's to repent. And let me tell you, sleep leaves. It really, and it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because let me tell you, when he wakes you up, and you want to make sure that what you're about to say, because this is serious. Yom Kippur is the most holiest, the scripture says. So, you want to, if you're the speaker, you want to make sure that whatever you're saying that you're right. You don't want to mislead anybody. You're steady going over what you put together, because you really want to make sure this is what he's wanting you to say and what he's wanting you to do. So I tell you, I experienced that this over this past week, and I tell you what, it was overwhelming at times. But I thank him for it. I thank him so much for this opportunity that he has given me to do this. The calling to do this, it's an amazing feeling to have to be up here and be able to share his word and to take part in these fall holidays that he will fulfill. He fulfilled the spring feast, the feast, and he's going to fulfill these. No doubt he will. This month, the seventh month, is an exciting month. It's exciting because we know that This is his second coming. This is his second coming. So we're going to start on Yom Kippur. It's I thought I did. Yeah. I'm connected. Sister Connie jinxed me. I'm going to go ahead and just say it right now. She tells me, she says, brother, I hope this, she said, this is your iPad for ministry only. And I said, well, yeah. She said, well, I really hope it is. I said, because she said, I don't want nothing to pop up that shouldn't pop up. So I'm thinking, well, she's got me sweating over here already. I'm like, man, I know I ain't got nothing crazy on here, but I better go check it. Then she's going to tell me, because I would hate to see that 49ers jacket you wore pull up. And a picture of you will be on it. So I said, oh, here we go. So she, see that? You broke it. She really did. She had me sweating for a minute. Then she kind of, that was a good one. I wasn't expecting that one. I didn't think she had it in her. Oh, no, 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 no. Again, no, you keep on. Oh, yeah, talk about. There's no way I could read that. No way possible. I don't know anybody that can even translate that but him. I was wrong. Yeah. Amen. Hey, man, you ain't lying. Thank God for Phil. All right, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. It's Day of Atonement, and Yom Kippur is the Hebrew name for it. And this is the biblical holidays. These are the spring days. Passover fulfilled, unleavened bread fulfilled, first fruits, Pentecost, and here we are, the fall holiday. We just got through with Yom Teruah, the trumpets, and now we are in the 10 days of awe right now. 10 days that we should be humbling ourselves, evaluating our lives, because that's so important because of that Day of Atonement. Then we got Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, and that's a feast. I'm talking about a lot. Phil's gonna have to give me a class on this thing. He told me before I started, this is the last time I'm gonna show you what to do. I'm gonna keep trying, Phil. All right, atonement comes from the Hebrew kafar, and it means to cover. From the Brit Hadishah, the New Testament, we find that the sacrificial system in the Tanakh or the Mikra, which is the Old Testament, was only able to cover sin. It could not wash away or completely remove sin. All those animals that they sacrificed, which they had to, but it was all they could do was just cover the sin. But our ultimate sacrifice, our lamb, completely removed sin. It wasn't no more covering when he came. One. And there was many before him to cover, just to cover the sin. And here he came along willingly to remove it. And in Leviticus 16, I just put it down because I didn't want to have to put all the scriptures in there. The Day of Atonement, starting with verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before Yahweh and died. And Yahweh said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times unto the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with the linen girdle and with the linen mitre. Shall he be attired? These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and so put them on. But back up to verse 3 right quick, and notice, he said that thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock and for the sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. So you just couldn't come with any animal you wanted to. It was specific animals for the occasions, for whatever it was, the sin offering or the burnt offering. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock for the sin offering, which is for himself. So that's what the bullock offering was. First was for him. He had to make an atonement for himself and for his home. You know, and then they went up, the Levitical priests, and it was Aaron at this time. They went, only one time a year they could have did this, but they went 3 different times. He went first for himself and his family. Then he went for the Levitical priesthood, and then he went for the congregation. But only one time out that year that they could have did this. He could have atoned for the sins. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before Yahweh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for Yahweh and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which Yahweh's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before Yahweh to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. So that's what they had to do. He had to pray over the scapegoat, the sins, all the sins for the people. Then they would take him out. I forgot exactly how far they would take him out to go in the wilderness. And then at one time it says that they would come back. Sometimes the goat would find his way back. So what they did, they started taking him up on the hill, and then they would whoop and kick him off the you know, it was just like that. They would, so they wouldn't come back. It dead, gone. There go our sins. It's kind of cruel if you think about it, but that's what Yahweh recommended that they would do. The word feast is from the Hebrew moed, meaning appointment, a fixed time or season, specifically a festival. The sense or meaning is that these special times have been ordained by Yahweh and set aside for his worship. I'm so thankful that he has. We had did this whole complete 360, as what we can say, or U-turn. We made that U-turn for this specifically specific reason, because it's he ordained this time. And it says that we is set aside for his worship. That's amazing that we get to come and take part in these ordained times that he set aside for his worship. This is what this is about. It's all about him, giving him the worship that he deserves, the proper worship that he deserves. Some Yom Kippur names, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, face-to-face, the fast and the day, and the great Shofar. And there was a couple others. I just put a couple of these down. You got the closing of the gate. That was one of them. 10 days of awe. Yamim Norim. That's the Hebrew word for it. Yamim Norim. These 10 days of awe are an opportunity to seriously seek the face of Yahweh, to examine our lives and repent from our sins. It's a time to call upon his mercy for ourselves, for our families, our nations, and to take practical steps to be instruments of reconciliation, forgiveness, and love. That's serious. These 10 days of awe are serious. It says to seriously seek the face of Yahweh and examine our lives. Ain't he amazing that he gives us these 10 days? You know, before we come before him on Yom Kippur to say, hey, take the time. I'm giving you 10 days to look at you. That's a lot of days. 10 days if you think about it. 10 days is a lot. He didn't give us one. That's how much he loves and cares about us. He said, okay, I'm going to set this into motion. I'm going to ordain these 10 days of awe right here for y'all. 10 days to where y'all can. If for one day you might slip up for what, you might get real, real busy. You still got 9 more. You still got 9 more. There's no excuse. No excuse that before Tuesday we come here to offer our, to give him the praise for his atoning for our sins, that we shouldn't. We shouldn't take this seriously to examine our lives. There's no excuse. We got 10 days to do it. Yahweh provided this special time to focus on repentance and forgiveness. You know, forgiving others. You know, others, it's not just for him forgiving us. It's what about what others might have done to us? Don't hold no grudge. Just forgive them. You know, Brother Herman mentioned pride last night. Pride, that's part of grudge. You know, you want to hold that grudge, that's pride. Somebody do me something, I'm going to show them. You know, that's that forgiveness he's talking about. You know, forgive others. That's all part of that 10 days of all that we got to seriously examine. That's a lot of stuff that you got to look at. And I tell you, putting this message together, it gets you. It hits you. It hits home. It really do. You start thinking about this stuff. You want to make sure that what you're about to take part in and what you're about to say is right. You want to be right when we come before him. I'm talking about, it's amazing. I can't even, it's hard for me to explain to you. You know, you're not even tired. Sleep leaves. You might get tired later on in the day, but after you fall asleep 10, 11 o'clock and 12, 1 o'clock, you're like up. And like, oh, what's going on? Okay, well, what about this? You know, I was just all week long just examining myself. And I'm telling you, it's hard to explain. You really have to just, oh, man, get into it. Lamentations 3:40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to Yahweh. 10 days are all. Search and try our ways and turn again to Yahweh. Moses, Maimonides, it's a rabbi, Moses ben Maimon, a Spanish philosopher, considered the greatest Jewish scholar of the Middle Age, who codified Jewish law in the Talmud, 1135 through 1204. This was one of his sayings. Sleepers, arise from your slumber, and those who are dozing, awake from your lethargy. That word lethargy means like laziness. It was a bunch of them, but that's the only one I could think of that really comes out. It was just like not, you don't have a lot of get up and go. And he's telling you to awake from that. Review your actions, repent from your sins, and remember your Creator. Wow. I tell you, when I, at first I just found the bottom part. And I'm like, well, man, I can't just put that up there. I got to find out who said this. So, you know, it takes a little digging, but that's, digging is good. It really is. But he was the one who said that. And when he said that, I was like, and I had to underline it. It was just, I had to bring it out. It says, remember your Creator. Remember him. Ephesians 5, 14 through 16. All these are, we're just dealing with the days of all right now. Wherefore, he said, awake thou, thy sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Messiah shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. He's telling us to watch ourselves. Leviticus 23, 26 through 32. 23, 26 through 32. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation, dress rehearsal, unto you. And ye shall afflict your souls, and offering, and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. And ye shall do no work in the same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yahweh your Elohim. For whosoever soul, for whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. This is serious. I'm telling you, this, when you take your time and really read the scripture, you see how serious. He's not in the playing business. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, that soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. A statue forever. Meaning when the Brit Hadishah came, statues forever. You still do it. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at even. From even to even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. So from the evening to the next evening. That's how it works in the Hebrew calendar. The first Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, occurred after the Exodus from Egypt at Mount Sinai. While Moses received the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai, the children of Israel made and worshiped a golden calf. When Moses descended from the mountain and discovered their sin, in his anger, he broke the tablets. Nevertheless, he returned to God on Mount Sinai in order to make atonement for their sin. And what it says, I added this one this morning. Exodus 32, 30 through 34. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto Yahweh. Preadventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto Yahweh and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them mighty ones of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me I pray thee out of thy book which thou hast written. You know, he was wanting to be a curse for them. He was wanting to be that a curse for them. That's what 32 is saying. Listen what Yahweh responded. And Yahweh said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out my book. No, what he's saying is that I'm going to hold them accountable for their sins. You know, that's what nowadays we have a hard time with that. You know, we always want to pass the blame on somebody else. You know, and Moses wasn't even going to pass. He wanted the blame. You know, take my name out. Don't take their name out. But he said, no. I'm going to hold them, that person, accountable for his sins. You know, accountability nowadays, like I said, you know, it's hard. Some people don't accept correction that well. Spiritual understanding of the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is the most solemn of all the feast days. It was the day of cleansing for the nation and for the sanctuary. On this day alone, once a year, the high priest entered into the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies, in the temple. Within the veil of the temple, with the blood of the Lord's goat, the sin's offering, here he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. The blood of the sin offering on the great Day of Atonement brought about the cleansing of all sin for the priesthood, the sanctuary, and Israel as a nation. And we see that in Leviticus 16, 29 through 34. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourned among you. For on that day shall the priest make atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. So not just you, everybody, the one that was among you too. Anybody that was in your country. Verse 32. And the priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as Yahweh had commanded Moses. There is no atonement without the blood. And this is in the Talmud, Yama 5:8. There is no atonement without the blood. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that making an atonement for your soul. It wasn't about the animal. It was about the blood. It had to have been it was the blood, the most important part. Because there was no atonement without the blood. Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of the blood is no remission. Atonement was facilitated through the Levitical priesthood. Atonement was facilitated through the blood of Yeshua, our priesthood. Thank God, thank Yahweh for Yeshua, our willing sacrifice. You know, this even, I didn't put it in here, but it even ties into the red heifer when you start digging into this. It has a lot to do with that also. But atonement was facilitated through the blood of Yeshua, our priesthood. Atonement, the Hebrew kippur, to cover, purge, or make reconciliation. Let's look at the first covering in Genesis 3. Starting with verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, Yeah, had Elohim said, He shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Boy, did he sell that lie, huh? Man. "For Elohim doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as mighty ones, knowing good and evil." Now this is, you're talking about, this is Eve. Adam, clothed in the glory, sold them a little lie. You're going to be as mighty ones. You know, who are we today to think that we are not acceptable to his lies? That's why we have to stay in his word and stay prayed up every day. Not just, we can't take a day off. There's no day off when it comes to this. This is life and death. This is serious. This is serious business right here. But thank God. Thank God for his atonement. Thank him that he gave it his all. He gave us his very all. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now, listen to verse 6 carefully. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," well, she didn't see it was good for food from day one. Why only now did she see that it was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes? I mean, it had to have been that from he first put y'all there in the middle and put that in the middle of the garden. But with that little lie that he told them. "She took up the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And we know the story behind that. You know, we wanted to blame O Eve. But, you know, us as a man, he could have cast that vow. That couldn't have happened. If he would have stood in his manly position, and he could have did that. But it was... Oh, Adam, sorry, fellas, I'm with y'all, but can't blame old Eve, can't blame the woman. "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked." Here we come to the first covering. "And they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim amongst the trees of the garden." How many times we did that? How many times I did that? I'm not going to say we. I'm going to say me. Because I'm the speaker. How many times I did that when I heard the voice? I went and hid myself. Because I knew was doing wrong. "And Yahweh Elohim called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, what the men always say, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent. Just keep passing it down. Not my fault. Not me. You know, accountability. Nobody wants to be accountable. Let's pass it down to the serpent. And then he, of course, he ain't got nobody to pass it down to. It's him. You know, I mean, he had to take it. It was you. And I did eat. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this. You almost kind of want to feel sorry for the little guy, man. I mean, why it had to stop on you? Come on. He didn't have nobody to pass it to. I mean, that was it. He was the last of the Mohegans. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly thou shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise his heel. This enmity between this war. This is where the seed war started. Get the tape. Get the CDs. Trust me. You want to get it. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did Yahweh Elohim make coats. This is the first covering right here. The first sinless animal had to die. What animal never did nothing to nobody. Didn't have a clue what was about to happen to him. But it had to. In order to cover, that's that atonement. It's got to be covered with the blood. It had to have been the blood. Make coats of skins and clothe them. And Yahweh Elohim said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Wow. So listen, putting him out the garden was a wonderful thing. He had to. Because let me tell you, you don't want to live forever in your sins and iniquities. Yahweh is so smart. He is incredible. He is incredible, I tell you. You know, you think that was a bad thing that he did that, but no, that was a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing that he put him out. Sinless animal had to die. And let me show you ours. Behold the Lamb of Yahweh. John 1:22-29. Behold the Lamb of Yahweh. Remember that. A sinless animal had to die. Then said they unto him, who are thou? They're talking about John the Baptist. He's baptizing right here. Give us an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of Yahweh, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptize thou then if thou be not the Messiah, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latch I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And here it is. Look at that. The next day, John seeth Yeshua coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh, which taketh away the sin of the world. Notice, it's not a covering. He don't say, Behold, the Lamb of the next day, the behold coming to him said, Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh, which covered the sin of the world. Like back in the Old Testament, the covering. No, he said, this lamb that's coming, this blood that's about to pour out for all mankind, takes away the sins of the world. Thank you. Hallelujah. That's a shouting moment, I tell you. Without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. Romans 3:25. Whom Elohim has set before to be a propitiation through faith in his love, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of Elohim. Through faith in his blood. Whose blood? Yeshua's blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of Elohim. First John 2:2. First John 2:2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, not just for God so loved me or you, or Beerus, or Nepal, or Indiana. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, it's something that we have to do too now. We have to believe in him to have everlasting life. You know, he just didn't give it for free. Just for us to not have our human responsibilities. 1 John 4:9-10. In this was manifested the love of Yahweh towards us. Listen to this. In this was manifested the love of Yahweh towards us. Because that Yahweh sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. Love us so much. You know, we was having this conversation at Bible study that night by Sister Kathy's, you know, he sent his Son, you know, and it was on the topic about, you know, how the Son was a drunkard. He didn't want to do what was right. So they had to take him to the gate for the elders to stone him, you know, and you really sit down and think about that. After Pastor had brought it to our attention, you know, you think about it. You know, I have one son. Man, would I have done that? Or would I have put up with it, with his drunkenness and his laziness? In this day and time, I'm going to be honest, it would be hard. I really don't know if I could. It's that serious. But back then, they had to. They took him out for him to get stoned. No matter if it was their only son, or if they had two boys, three boys, four boys, it didn't matter. They had to do it. And here it is that Yahweh gave his only Son, loved us. He loved us that much that he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Such an incredible Father. So incredible. John 3:15-17. That whatsoever believeth in me, that whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have eternal life. Believeth in me. I just mentioned that. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Yahweh sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That atonement, I tell you, that blood that was shed, just so for us to be saved, to give us a new beginning. A new beginning. You know, you say, how that pertains to us? Well, here it is. We've been grafted in. Thank God. Thank Yahweh. You know, it's hard to get away from that sometimes. But we know, grafted in. Romans 11, 16 through 24. I didn't put it in here. It says, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Wow. Because of what? Unbelief. Didn't he just tell us a little while ago, in a couple, I just read back then, we have to believe in Yeshua? You don't believe in Yeshua, this is what happens. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if Elohim spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. If he didn't spare the natural branches, what makes you think he's going to spare us? It ain't going to happen. We have to believe. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of Elohim on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for Elohim is able to graft them in again. I tell you, he just gives second chances all the time. You think he doesn't? You think he meant what he said when he says that he wants us to have eternal life? He meant that. He's proven it to us in the scripture over and over and over and over. That's how much he loves you. 10 days of all. Get yourself right. I can graft you in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature. Oh, my eyes is playing tricks on me right here. And were grafted contrary to nature into a good old tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? We grafted into this. Ephesians 2, 11 through 13. Man, after staring at scriptures and laptop, and man, you like everything get a little blur. I know I'm not getting that old. I'll be 40 in November, but my eyes shouldn't be going bad already. Golly. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. We had no hope. And without Elohim in the world, but now in Messiah Yeshua, ye who sometimes were far off and made nigh, or far off or made nigh by the blood of Messiah. That's that atonement. We was afar off. It's amazing how he was crucified before the foundations of the world. Whoa. You see that? Huh? You heard that? Da-na-na, da-na-na. That's that. This is some ESPN stuff right here. What are we getting this morning? I ain't lying. This is some good stuff. That was an ESPN moment. Huh? I got to read that verse again because it was. But now in Messiah Yeshua, it wasn't coincidence that this went off doing this scripture right here. Dun-na-na, dun-na-na. But now in Messiah Yeshua, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Messiah. These scriptures should make Sports Center. I think they should. I ain't lying. This is some good stuff, man. God is so good, I tell you. I have fun up here. I really do. I enjoy this. Sometimes I got to catch myself. Galatians 3:26-29. For ye are all the children of Yahweh by faith in Messiah Yeshua. For as many of you as have been baptized into Messiah have put on Messiah. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Messiah Yeshua. If ye be Messiahs, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are heirs according to the promise. And I did not even put a scripture for face to face. But one day we're going to, you know, I put that face to face and I was reading when Moses went up the second time and he got that. The commandments for the second time. And when he came down, the glory on his face, they were scared to get close to him. They were scared to get close to him. And, you know, one day we're going to have that face to face. And what a day that's going to be. And guess what? The seventh month. This is the exciting time right here. That seventh month that we get to see that face to face. Oh, man, what a day that's going to be. That face to face. After the millennium, when he hands back over everything to the Father, and then Yahweh himself. Oh, man, I tell you. Yom Kippur is a day of fasting and affliction of the soul. And we see that in Leviticus 23, 27, and 29, and Numbers 29, 7. We can read them. Just a couple more. I'm almost finished. Yom Kippur is a day of fasting and affliction of the soul. Leviticus 23, verse 27 and verse 29. Also, on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer in an offering by fire unto Yahweh. In 28, we can read 28, 29. And ye shall do no work in the same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yahweh your Elohim. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And that's, you know, afflicted is, that's what fasting is part of, being afflicted. You know, I was reading in some Jewish cultures, it says they take a leather belt and they beat the child to where he can feel pain every just a light mild pain or something it was called that I read coming across. I'm glad we ain't doing none of that. And then I'm glad I'm the daddy if I had to do it. Because, I do have a dad also, so I guess he can make me feel some affliction too. But, that's what fasting is. It's a part of the affliction. In Numbers 29:7, he had to be the oldest first, though, just saying. So I'm not alone. Somebody getting it before me. Oh, praise God. All right, Numbers 29:7. And ye shall have on the 10th day of the 7th month an holy convocation, and ye shall afflict your souls. Ye shall not do any work therein. Fasting is mentioned in Joel 1, 14 through 15. Joel 2, 12 through 18. And Ezra 8, 21. So Joel 1, 14 through 15. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of Yahweh your Elohim, and cry unto Yahweh. Alas for the day. Remember one of those names that I gave? For the day of Yahweh is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. The day is coming. Joel 2, 12 through 18. Therefore also now, saith Yahweh, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Notice though, turn ye even to me with all your heart. We got to give it all. You can't just give him. He don't want a part of us. He wants all of us. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto Yahweh your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repented him of the evil. That's what he does. When you give him your all, when you turn to him, he repented him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto Yahweh your Elohim? Oh. I left out a whole bunch of scripture, I think. Oh, no, I just got it. And go one down. Oh, there. Oh, I'm controlling this thing? Oh, wow. This is cool. Whoa, I didn't know that. Oh, man. All right. Joel 2, 15 through 18. Yeah, right. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders. Come on, everybody, gather your children. This is about to be good, what we're about to get into. Ezra 8:21. Then I proclaim a fast there at the river of Hava, that we might afflict ourselves before our Elohim to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. I done got this all mixed up. This is 17 and 18 or something. Let the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yahweh, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is the Elohim? Then will Elohim be jealous for his land and pity his people. Wow. Thank you. I tell you, the Father, he is amazing. The way he worked this out, this Yom Kippur is exciting. It's an exciting time, and we should take it serious. This is the holiest of holies. This is so important, especially right now in these 10 days of awe, that, you know, we really examine ourselves, before we come to him on Tuesday. It's an important, this is an important event. And, you know, Scripture plainly tells us what we have to do. But I just thank him for this opportunity to come here this morning and, you know, share this with y'all. It was, man, I tell you, like I said, you know, you get woken up wee hours of the mornings, but it was a good thing. I no regrets, I tell you, I'll sleep later. But I just wanted, you know, to make sure. That was heavy on me, to make sure that I'm right, because I'm going to be held accountable for what I say. And I don't want to mislead nobody by no way. This is serious, sharing the word. You know, you gotta really, really, really examine your life constantly, And it was amazing. I was looking at this clock. I was looking at the seconds. I thought it was later than what it was. But, man, God, Phil got me all jacked up. But it was good, though. I mean, this was exciting. That's, you know, Yom Kippur. We're about to hit Yom Kippur on Tuesday. You know, and then we have, you can fast if you want that evening. But after that, we start 5 days of grace. You got 5 days of grace before Sukkot. You see how much he loves us? I'm going to give you 10 days of awe. Okay, then you might slip up. I don't know. Maybe you might be busy for 10 days. Okay? Yom Kippur is going to hit. Then I'm going to give you 10 days of grace behind that, before Sukkot, before I come to tabernacle with you. Right here. Right here. Wow, he's amazing. The Father loves us, I tell you. You feel like you don't do enough justice for him. You know, it's like it's not enough. You study, you pray, you try to make sure you're doing everything right. And even when you feel like you're giving it 100, you still feel like it's not enough. You still feel like you're coming up short because of what he did for us and what this month means. This is an exciting month. I'm telling you, we got to get excited about this month, about the 7 month. Like more than anything we ever been excited for before in our lives. This is it right here. This is what it's about. So let's stand. If anybody have anything to say, anybody need prayer? We do. Aunt Jerry, Sister Jerry's Uncle John is gone.